Here's Andy Udman.
It was on a Tuesday morning in 2006, and we saw a police car and a big truck in front of our property. And my son said, something is wrong there. And I said, well, there's probably some, the police stopped this truck and so on.
So, you know, we're going to be talking this morning to two hardened criminals, Andy. I mean, these are people where their passports have been taken away from them. They're not allowed to communicate with each other. And all they're doing is producing real food. That's all they've been doing for their entire careers, is producing real food.
We were locked up in the kitchen for 7 hours. And in the meantime, they raided, they took our dairy apart, our little cheese operation, that they loaded it up to a truck and so on. And then after 7 or 8 hours, they were gone again, and then charged me with other 21 charges.
10 minutes after 10 o'clock on a Thursday morning. I gotta settle down, because I am getting so angry. And so are a lot of other people. Part of the reason we have this obscene debt in Ontario, approaching $300 billion, is we are masters at blowing money out the window, letting it flush down the toilet. And we have another classic example today. How much have we spent, how many millions have we spent fighting a guy whose crime is milking cows? I was raised milking cows and selling raw milk, and that's all Michael Schmidt's doing. And how many years have we spent, untold millions, fighting this guy as if he were Charles Manson? Pam Colleen is in studio. She always is on Thursday morning, our chip disturber, I'm going to call her, because when it comes to health issues, she rocks the boat. Do you have any idea how much we've spent fighting this? You nailed it this morning. You said, you know, they're treating him like he's a hardened criminal.
That's right. And all he's been doing is producing food, real food, for consumers who want this food. And here we have a food system that is failing, a commercial food system that is failing, that is unsustainable, that even the Auditor General is saying is unsafe. And every time we have a food recall, or every time somebody is sickened by this commercial food system, more and more consumers are flooding to local farmers to find food where the animals have been out on pasture, they're healthier, they're treated more humanely, the flavor of the food is real. So we're seeing an increase in demand for more sustainable forms of agriculture, but yet we have a government that is putting regulations out there that are actually deterrents for people to do this kind of farming.
Steve Garrison calls you the crazy lady,
mm-hmm.
and you wear that with a badge of honor, as you should, because it's crazy how deaf people are to the realities. Here you've been saying this all along, and in the Auditor General's report, which came out this week, they basically said two things that people can remember. Our rail system is not safe, and our food system is not safe, and mm-hmm. that's exactly what you've been saying
mm-hmm.
with factory farms, one of the primary concerns. Here's a guy who produces, and we're going to meet him in a moment to get an update, who produces real food locally, what people are wanting, and he gets treated like a hardened criminal.
That's right. And it's absolutely ridiculous, because with all of these events that are going on in our food supply today, more and more consumers are seeking out websites like we have here in London. If you Google in London area organic growers, you'll find out that there are several local producers that are doing this kind of sustainable agriculture. And if you were to talk to any of these other farmers, they will tell you how restrictive it is for them to do this kind of farming. It's not easy to do.
It's tough. I have a cousin in Dresden who's doing it, and it's very, very tough. But it's the food that people are now demanding more and more.
That's right. But the government regulations don't make it easy for the farmers to enter into this kind of career.
We did a story on butchers, how they're going out of business because of all the government regulations.
That's
and hey,
right.
We all like regulations, but uh-huh. this group, which is meeting on Monday,
mm-hmm.
one of their primary beefs is over-regulation
mm-hmm.
By governments, to the point that they're driving people out of business. Mm-hmm. Anyway, Michael Schmidt needs no introduction, but I still consider myself a dairy farmer, Michael, because that's what I did as a kid, was reach down under and squeeze. How are you this morning?
I squeezed a lot this morning.
You were probably up at 4 a.m., right?
Yeah.
At 5. He says he gets up at 5. He said, oh, that's a life of luxury compared to our radio announcers. What time do you get up, Michael?
A quarter to 5.
And how many did you squeeze?
About 30.
About 30. 30 cows?
Yeah.
Okay. I don't even know where to start on this one, Michael, but first of all, how are you doing? I can't believe the stress you've been under for years and years and years. You're the guy who launched the hunger strike demanding a personal one-on-one with Dalton McGuilty. I'm sorry, McGuinty.
You were right.
Yeah, and you finally got it. Are they still after you, Michael?
Well, at the moment, everything is quiet, and I think it probably has to do with all these shifts in government currently. That they don't need more scandals in regard to their policies. But we have on the 5th, we finally got a date, seven years after they came in here with 25 armed officers. We finally, after 7 years, are getting a hearing in front of the highest court in Ontario, the appeals court at Osgoode Hall. And so they will hear our appeal, which they granted after hearing that two different judges made two completely opposing rulings on the issue if people can make a choice to get their own cow and drink their milk from their own cow, even when a farmer is milking the cow for them. So that comes 7 years after the biggest raid we had here, and 20 years after the whole raw milk war started with the province of Ontario.
Let me ask you a tough question. Give me a figure. I sound like Gordon Sinclair from years ago. What's this costing us? Just you, Michael Schmidt, causing all these problems on your farm up there in New Owen Sound. What has Michael Schmidt cost us so far, the Ontario taxpayer?
We tried, through freedom of information, to get a handle on it, how much money they spend. One of the responses was, we're not segmenting out this case. So it is a ballpark, you know, figure, which is not where they don't have to keep track. But my suspicion is that we're looking over $1 million. I mean, when you looked at there used to be 3 to 4 lawyers plus the assistants on the other side. And then we had the health unit here. We had York Region there. And you know how expensive it is a day in court. And constantly, they're coming with this whole barrage of lawyers in order to fight this simple request of people that they can drink their own milk.
Okay.
So I figure it is beyond $1 million what they have spent.
Okay. So then the second question, I want to make this really basic because a lot of people have not followed this really closely. What are they afraid of?
It must be important, otherwise they wouldn't fight it like that. But the one thing you need to realize, because of the supply management system we have here in Ontario, in Canada, it becomes a political issue and not really a food safety issue. Yeah, they don't want. I think there is pressure from the dairy farmers of Ontario, dairy farmers of Canada, to not allow anybody to basically dance out of line here. And because we're not part of the system, it is for them a thorn in their eye that somebody is providing people with milk, and these people wouldn't drink the commercial milk anyhow. But you could look at it in two ways. The one thing is that they want to prevent that people find out how real milk tastes. Okay, that's one thing. And the other thing is that they simply want to force us into the system, buying the quota and so on.
Yeah, but you're milking what, 30 cows?
30 cows. Not a big deal.
No insult, but you're a spit in the ocean. I mean, Pam, what are they afraid of?
Well, you know, when you look at California, for example, or you look at Europe, for example, you can walk into a store in these areas of the world and you can buy farm fresh raw milk legally and easily.
Yeah.
And farm fresh raw milk has been used for a long, long time medicinally. In fact, at the Mayo Clinic 100 years ago, they used to have something called the milk cure, and they used to use farm fresh raw milk to actually help sick people get well. But they won't embrace this today because of the nature of the beast and in terms of what pasteurization has accomplished to centralize the dairy industry and render great profits, but not great health among the population.
Let's talk about the health aspects. And You know, Michael, I don't know at what point. I'm shocked that you haven't given up and just sold off your cows, but you're still soldiering on?
I'm still a proud farmer, I tell you.
Yeah, well, you were farming in Germany. You're biodynamic farming. You have a master's degree in agriculture. You have apprentices that come to your farm. You teach them how to do this sustainable form of agriculture. I mean, you don't see the demand for this kind of food going away anytime soon, correct?
No, it's actually growing. It's continuously growing. And we cannot supply the demand out there, which is, you know, people keep, like you said at the introduction, how people searching for these kind of products, and they get denied the right to make that informed choice.
Well, isn't it incredible, Michael, that what you just said, there's this growing demand for what you're producing, raw milk, natural milk, and the Auditor General comes out this week and says everything Pam's been saying for years, that factory farming produces a product which is contributing in a major way to a deterioration of our health. What was your reaction to the Auditor General's comments?
My reaction was, here we go again. I mean, I was telling that years and years ago in the courtroom, and I said, when you simply look at the list of recalls we have from the Canadian Food Inspection Agency, and they're talking about the safest food in Canada, Lady Dombrovsky, the former Minister of Agriculture and Food, she said, we have the safest and best food anywhere in the world. That's what she said as a response.
But that's just not true. I mean, even the public health.
Which is not true.
I mean, 40% of the population, 40% of the population is going to get sick from our food supply.
Yeah.
And that's according to the public health officials. So, you know, we know that the food system here is unsafe. In the United States, is 25% of their population is going to get sickened from their food supply. So our food supply is actually even worse than the American food supply.
Wow.
Personally, I think it's not a problem you can fix, because it's not a problem of hygiene. It's not a problem of not enough control. It's a problem how we approach the food production. It goes right back to the sustainability of everything. Has to be rationalized. Now, you have 100, 200, 300 cows. You have these big feedlots. The way how they cows don't go on pasture anymore. There's so many things wrong in the system that you cannot fix it. That's bottom line. You cannot fix it.
But what about making these people more accountable? I mean, Michael, they're going after you. They're going after other farmers. But what about XL? I mean, what about all these big food corporations that have caused all sorts of problems in terms of foodborne illness outbreaks?
Because
I mean,
they have enough lobby power within the government. When you should know how much lobbyists get paid nowadays to get together with politicians. And unfortunately, that the majority of all politicians don't have a spine. They don't have the guts to stand up really for the people, and they're basically listening to, you know, what is the in regards to what is the most popular thing to do, but they definitely not listening to the people what they want.
We're going to go to the people in just a moment. Ron, we'll get to you in just a second. But, Michael, let me ask you to share what Dalton McGuinty said he knew or didn't know about the issue of raw milk.
He didn't know anything, he says. He says, I have to listen to my experts. And I have to believe my experts. And I said to him, why don't you look at the... maybe you have the wrong experts telling you what to do.
You know, why didn't you tell him? Well, phone Andy Udman, that provocative talk show host in London who keeps what he calls Daddy Dalton's Daily Disaster Diary, you know, your number one fan, and ask him how he got to be 6'3", and it was throwing hay bales and drinking... Are you ready for this, Mr. Dalton McGuinty? Drinking raw milk, which you've spent millions trying to get rid of. Ron, what's on your mind today?
Yeah, I agree with your guess. I don't like this control of our food supply by companies, but I just want to ask a question. Why isn't the milk industry offering the same product as this gentleman, Mr. Schmidt?
Michael?
Go ahead, Pam.
Well, let's go.
No, well, I mean, Michael looked into this years ago, and he found out that there is a viable way to create two streams of dairy products for our grocery stores. There can be a stream for farm fresh raw milk, and there can be a stream for pasteurized milk.
When you say there can be, I mean...
Other countries have been able to...
Other countries have done it.
Yeah,
and you can do it in California and Europe.
Yeah, England, they've done it in England. I mean, they do it in California. So we know we have models that we can actually look towards to learn from and incorporate here in Ontario.
It drives me crazy, Michael, the things that other countries do well, which we refuse to follow. Why aren't we following the European model?
Because we're Canadian, I guess. I have no idea. I have no idea. I can go to Germany. I go into the schools, and in the schools you have raw milk dispenser machines like Coke machines here in Canada, you know?
Like dispensing machines for raw milk in the schools in Germany.
Yeah.
And Italy, other countries all throughout Europe, they readily provide for raw milk if people want it.
And here we're spending millions of dollars in Ontario to try to get rid of the Michael Schmitz.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, Michael, any idea, or Pam, how many people in London are drinking raw milk?
Well, about 2% of the population, perhaps, maybe 3% of the population.
Where do they get
it? Is consuming farm fresh raw milk.
Where do they get it?
They get it locally.
Thriving underground market. And I tried to bring that basically above. I told already, also McGilty at that time, I said, it's much more a food safety issue when you push things underground because there's absolutely no standards for production and so on. But surprisingly, you know, even without the standards around, we hardly hear of any problems with illnesses from raw milk. I mean, they blow everything up out of proportion.
Well, every food has a risk. Every food has
a
risk.
Every food has a risk.
But what people want is they want to be able to have the freedom to choose. And that's really what's the issue here.
Okay, let's leave it right there because we have to take a short break for a news update. We're going to have more when we come back. Now, who is Montana Jones?
Well, Montana Jones, we've had her on the show before. Remember about a year or so ago, her sheep kind of disappeared. They vaporized into
thin air. The mysterious sheep disappearance.
Yes, and it was to protect and preserve a heritage breed here in Canada so that we consumers can have more choice in the grocery store. So, you know, right now, if you go into a grocery store, there's one kind of lamb or one kind of chicken. And for those of us who are foodies, we want to have more choice. And we want to be able to choose these foods that are coming from local farms where the animals are humanely raised.
I had a food sample at Costco last week. One of their food samples was lamb. Mm-hmm. I thought I hated lamb. I tried it. It was delicious.
Oh, it is wonderful.
Where would it be from?
What you tasted was probably from Australia. And I think there's more sustainable sources right here in Ontario that they should be buying from.
Are we spending millions on farmers like Montana Jones as well?
To bring them up and to promote them? No. You know, there's not enough going on to promote this kind of agriculture, and there should be.
Wow. Back with more in just a moment right here on London Today on News Talk 1290 CJBQ.
As we were pulling out with our milk delivery, they're stopping us from leaving the property, and then suddenly from everywhere there came 25 armed officers running to buildings, securing doors so that nobody can go in and out, and basically then confiscating my guns and say that that basically now everything is locked up here.
10:35 now on this Thursday. Let me just share something very personal, and I sometimes do this, and I shouldn't. But this issue of how the government spends money. If it were only their own money, you know how you're standing in Canadian Tire and there's 10% off, and you're going, I really don't need that, but it's 10% or 20% off. If only the government would go through that same process. Now to hear that we have spent over $1 million trying to shut down a farmer in Owen Sound who's producing milk. That's his crime, producing raw milk, which is on the open market in Europe and in California and other parts of the world. It just makes you shake your head.
That's right. I mean, if people are concerned about their health, if they're concerned about the health of their children and the health of the future of their children, we need to do more to preserve real food today. Because what we're seeing today is we're seeing a commercial food supply that's producing food that is substandard and is not sustaining our health.
Now, it's not Pam Colleen who's saying that. Well, you've said it all along. But how did you react before we meet our next guest when the Auditor General this week said, we got two major concerns here, railway safety and food
safety.
safety.
Right. And yet it's all words. It's all rhetoric, because what the government will end up doing if people aren't careful is they're going to actually just irradiate our food supply as a solution to this problem. And I don't know about you, Andy, but I sure as heck don't want to see that happen.
What's irradiation of our food?
They're going to just irradiate our food to sterilize it, to stop these E. coli outbreaks and things like that. But I don't think it's acceptable. I don't want my food radiated. I want real food, food that's coming from animals that are healthy because they're outside on grass and soaking in the sun. That's what I want to eat. And those foods are going to be inherently safer than what you're getting in these very unhygienic factory farms.
Okay, Michael Schmidt is one horror story. There's another one somewhat connected to Michael we're about to share. Would you share that story?
Right. And so the other story that we see going on here in Ontario is with Montana Jones, who a year ago, the CFIA basically went in and slaughtered her sheep. These are heritage sheep. There are very, very few of these types of sheep anywhere in Canada. And if you're a foodie and appreciate good lamb, you'd want to be able to have access to this kind of lamb. And unfortunately, the CFIA went in and slaughtered her entire herd.
Why?
Well, because I guess one of her sheep had been diagnosed with scrapie. And there's just so much controversy around this, why the CFIA had to go in and destroy the entire herd. And yet there was no justification for it. And there were alternatives to the situation as well.
Well, let's bring on Montana Jones. Montana, I appreciate you joining the show this morning.
Hi, good morning.
Is your name really Montana?
No, it's a 30-year-old nickname.
Okay, what's your real name? Linda, right?
Linda, yeah, Linda.
Montana is much snappier.
Well, it's even my dad called me Montana. So
I see. Okay, well, I like Montana. Montana, if you were to try to explain, without getting into sheep and scrapies and everything else, what's the real story when it comes to the government going after and spending all this money? And we're going to ask you for a price tag in just a moment.
Oh, I have one, yeah.
Oh, really? Mm-hmm. How many zeros does it have?
Well, I am actually with the same process with the access to information. I am in the process now, and I can only estimate, but I 100% believe it. It's over a million so far, with all the investigators, the helicopters, they hired the lawyers, the OPP, the CFIA that has, you know, regularly been here, regularly been at the court.
Did you say, Montana? I mean, I know my hearing's not what it used to be. Did you say helicopters?
Helicopters, yes. They hired helicopters to look for the sheep when they went missing.
We can't even get a helicopter in the London area to go after the bad guys. So how bad are you, Montana Jones?
Well, I mean, I should just clarify something that Pam, you just mentioned, is that the reason that CFIA initially targeted my farm was not because there was a case of scrapie found here in my flock. It was because of a breeding stock ewe that I sold several years ago was found to be positive in Alberta. And so because I sold the animal, they then sourced it back, traced back to me. And then my issue was, are you sure that it got it at my farm? Because I'd never had any, I mean, I had my flock for going on 14 years now. Never a sign, never a symptom, never any that I'd sold had ever come back, you know, testing positive for scrapie. So I questioned right away couldn't the animal have become infected after it left my farm? And they said, oh, well, yes, it could have. I said, okay, well, then let's proceed, you know, cautiously. And could we not, CFIA, could we not proceed with some alternative to killing them to find out if there really was scrapie here on the farm?
Michael told the horror story of all these cops, like, literally. Ryan, did you have that clip handy? Let's play that clip. I still shake my head over all these cops moving in on a dairy farm. And I guess because I was a kid on a dairy farm. But I just tried.
I had the same thing here in a raid.
Well, I want to ask you about that. But let me play you Michael's clip, and then I'll ask you to compare your experience.
As we were pulling out with our milk delivery, they stopping us from leaving the property, and then suddenly from everywhere there came 25 armed officers running to buildings, securing doors so that nobody can go in and out, and basically then confiscating my guns and say that basically now everything is locked up here.
Why all the cops? Why all the guns? Did they think you were going to open fire on them? Michael, I wish I could have asked Michael that question. Montana, what's your story?
Well, the CF, a little different because they don't have milk, et cetera. But, you know, CFI might as well have moved in here. I've seen them so many times in the last 3 years. You know, they'll show up unannounced. They will park security at the end of my driveway to stop.
Sounds like you have a meth lab going there or something, Montana. This sounds like you have a meth lab with all that kind of scrutiny going on around you.
You would think so. And the day that they arrived at, I think it was 6:30 in the morning with a search warrant, there were over 20 OPP and CFIA here, and they were actually here for 12 hours. They didn't leave till about 6:30 that night, and they took with them, any computers, any doodles, any notes, supposedly pertaining to. They were only supposed to take things that were, they were looking for evidence to see whether or not I'd been involved in the sheep's disappearance.
Montana, I keep coming back to the fact I'm a taxpayer. There are some people listening, I don't care about scrapie and sheep and all that stuff I don't understand.
I
understand dollars. And why? I mean, I don't know you very well. I mean, have you escaped from a prison in San Quentin or something? Like helicopters?
Well, it's, I don't even get parking tickets. So right now I have 9 criminal charges pending. They include obstructing a CFIA inspector, conspiracy to transporting or causing to transport an animal under quarantine, and then it goes on. They're mostly all conspiracy and instruction.
Did you obstruct one of the CFIA inspectors?
Well, it depends who you ask.
That's all pending in the courts right now.
Whether or not I'll be convicted of obstructing a CFIA officer, we'll have to see as the court unfolds. Now, this is another issue. Now, CFIA is trying to remove my lawyer of choice. They're saying that I'm not allowed to have my lawyer of choice because there may potentially be a conflict of interest. So they are spending even more money in delays, with court delays, and I'm not even allowed to have a bail review hearing. It's been almost a year since I was arrested.
Now, if we go back in time and they rationally listen to your proposals and alternatives, we wouldn't be having this conversation today, correct?
No, we wouldn't, and we would not have spent the money. Like, imagine if back when this began, they said, oh, gee, yeah, you do have a really healthy flock, and wow, they're rare breeds. There's going to be less than 100 if we kill them? How about we throw a few dollars towards conserving a rare heritage breed because we need that agricultural biodiversity in Canada? How about we do that? And instead, they're spending over $1 million chasing what?
Montana, they're saying you're the bad guy. We know you're not the bad guy. Who's the bad guy driving this agenda of spending $1 million trying to shut down Montana Jones, a sheep farmer?
Well, I think... the main reason is, let's remember, scrapie's not even a human health risk. Let's remember that they're spending this money, and ask me how many cases of scrapie there were in Canada this year.
How many cases of scrapie were there in Canada this year, Montana Jones?
There were 2 in all of Canada.
And if I eat meat from an animal that has scrapie, am I going to get sick?
There's been no known cases of scrapie infecting a human so far, and that's why Health Canada says that it's not a...
So what's the real agenda?
It's economics. The CFIA and the Sheep Federation, they want to be able to have import and export of animals with the U.S., and the U.S. has gone down this road with their policies. And so they want to be able to say, look, we're scrapie-free, too. Now, I'm all for controlling scrapie. I'm not against that. I'm just against their method. Also, CFIA keeps putting out releases saying they're eradicating it. At the same time, the scientists at CFIA will say it's impossible to eradicate it. They can only control it.
Montana, we're almost out of time. Let me just ask you this. Where is it standing right now? You're facing 9 criminal charges. This is going to court soon?
It's going to court soon. we're right now we're still trying to trying to hold on to our excellent lawyer Sean Buckley. So right now there's been so many delays. We're trying to hold on to him. So there's hearings and applications, and anybody that's interested could go to ShropshireSheep.org, and there's links there to you know. Also, we're you know, depleted resources. We're doing fundraisers. The Canadian Constitution Foundation has been hugely helpful with our legal.
Are you doing any farming right now at all, Montana?
Well, no. I'm kind of in a deer in the headlights. What can I do next? I have an over 4-foot stack of disclosure to read through if I pile it high here on my desk. And it's just being added to every month with the delays. And so it's definitely been sideswiped my lifestyle.
Say that our health minister, Deb Matthews, who lives here in London and is the deputy premier and has the ear of the premier, were to whisper in Kathleen McQuinn's ear, this is nonsense. The money we're spending, we're almost $300 billion in debt, and we're spending all this money to shut down this Montana Jones. Let's just cancel the whole effort. Montana, if they let you loose and to farm the way you wanted to farm, what would be the disastrous impact on the health of Canadians?
Well, I think zero. I had Michael Schmitz, what, he had 30 cows. I was not even that much of an impact. I grow vegetables, did market vegetables, and heritage meats, and just kind of doing my thing over here. But their support, there's been so much incredible support. I have a petition to CFIA to change their policies so that we can amend it to have an exemption for rare breeds. It'll be almost 10,000 on that petition so far.
Wow. Montana, we have to leave it there. We thank you so much. Wish you all the best in the courts.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Montana.
Anything else you'd like to add?
Well, I think people should just follow up with this story and monitor it. And if you want to get involved, you can go to Montana's website that she just cited and help her out.
Even if people had no interest in the health issues, mm-hmm. the money we spent on the two people that we just had on, and we're still fighting them.
They take that money and help to promote sustainable agriculture, not deter sustainable agriculture. It would be far better spent.
Or even put it against our debt. $272 billion.
Why are we having that debt? Because we're so incredibly sick as a society. If we could get healthy, that debt would go down big time.
Unbelievable. Okay, Pam Killeen, thank you for everything.
Thanks, Andy.
Okay, short break. We'll be back in just a moment right here to talk about